Welcome back. I'm Barry Holzer.
And I'm Hani Holzer.
And welcome to another segment of Parent is a Verb at OUradio.org. Today, we're going to be talking about routines in parenting. We'll be discussing creating a consistent structure involving routines and rules as the backbone of creating a healthy home environment.
The goal here is to make a home run smoothly so that everyone in the home can function optimally. If there are routines and there are rules, everyone knows how things are supposed to run and what's supposed to happen when and what's going on. And people can do their homework, get out to school, make play dates. But if there's no structure at home of when we do what and what's happening when, then there's a veritable amount of chaos. And insofar as parenting is concerned, it's very hard to parent children when there's chaos at home, because we don't know if the children are acting out because there's chaos or if it's just impossible to parent good kids when there's a chaotic environment in the background.
Okay, the goal, I feel, is to minimize the need for punishment by the structure being comfortable and self-rewarding.
Children like to know what to expect, and it makes them feel secure, comfortable, and happy. For instance, if you've ever walked into a first grade classroom, teachers are very, very structured, and they do the same routine every day. It can be when the children come in, they sit down at their desks, and the teacher writes on the board, "Today is March 15th, 2007, and the weather outside is," they do a weather chart, they do the calendar, and the children feel good, and they know what to expect, and they're happy. You walk into a first grade classroom and you tell the children that the teacher is absent that day, and half of them are going to fall apart, because half of them need that structure in order to function well.
Discipline really means teaching your child how to behave and giving him the boundaries and limits. It entails much more praise and encouragement, as well as firm control. One of my favorite selections from the Chinuch is in Mitzvah Tesayin. Talks about the pasuk, what we say all the time, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos is Yisrael Lefichach Hirbo Lehem Torah Mitzvos, that Hashem wanted to give schus, to give more merit to Bnei Yisrael, and therefore He gave them more mitzvah, gave them a lot of mitzvos. Now the obvious question would seem that if you have more mitzvos, it seems a lot more risk of messing up, of doing an aveira, of not doing it right. So he explains that I think this is a brilliant statement, centuries before his time. Hamachshava holeh achar hamaisa, that our thinking follows our actions. Behavioral therapy is really just coming to this understanding in the last few years. But basically, more mitzvos means rules that result in better behavior. And therefore, we integrate that behavior into our own thinking and into our machshava. The more rules, don't stifle our children. It gives them a firm foundation from which to assimilate good behavior and grow. Chaotic families may have a lot of love, but often lack the respect. The Torah emphasizes respect within the family structure and put it in the Aseres HaDibros as a basic building block of society. Without kibud av ha'em and yiras av ha'em, without the respect and awe for parents, family really cannot function. Learning respect for parents is a prerequisite for learning respect for others. Salvador Minuchin, the renowned family therapist, based much of his work on this concept of restoring authority of the parents in the family. He recognized that a lack in their authority resulted in children feeling less secure. When parents assert authority, children feel comfortable, they feel secure, and their overall relationship and the way they behave is much better.
And let's remember authority. We're not talking about despot authority or abusive authority. We're talking about someone being in charge. Not even someone being in control, because control has other connotations that aren't that attractive. But really, someone being in charge and someone running the ship is what we're talking about.
I often like to distinguish between authoritative and authoritarian. Being a parent is not about being authoritarian. It's not just about being the dictator. It's being about being authoritative. It's about how, you know, presenting yourself as the one who has the experience and the knowledge to really set the rules and make the ship run.
And that is critical and extremely important. And I think very often, sometimes a role parents sometimes are reluctant to step into because there's confusion around being too much of an authoritative despot type of person. But that's really not what we're talking about. And, you know, getting into the topic of routines and being in charge of how your household runs around children. Every child needs schedule. Many children, for instance, have problems sleeping, which can be improved with good sleep hygiene and a bedtime ritual and a schedule. That's important. If we have, you know, even magazines talk about, well, you have to have certain things that you expect and you have to keep it calm and you have to go to sleep around the same time. That's for adults, much more so for children. How do you come up with a routine and a schedule? And one of the things I believe in is that you have to work backward from when your child has to be out in the morning. That's the morning schedule. What time does he need to get up, not to be rushed excessively, and also calculating in how much sleep he or she needs. So if they have to make the bus at 7:30 in the morning, well, what time should they be going to sleep at night so that they can get up maybe at 6:45 and not be excessively rushed and be at the bus stop at 7:30? Because if they have to be at the bus stop at 7:30 and they're getting up at 6:45 and they really need 9, 10 hours of sleep, then that's how you have to budget the bedtime. And those are the decisions that you have to make, knowing your child and what they need and working it that way. And in terms of the morning, it's very helpful to make a checklist for the kids, discussing it with them, what has to happen in the morning, what are the expectations, and what has to get done. And I think part of that is breakfast, which is something that is very often forgotten because there's such an excessive, difficult rush to get out the door in the morning that kids are leaving without breakfast. And, you know, I'm not saying anything profound or new here. All the studies show that breakfast is an extremely important part of a person's ability to be successful in the day, especially children. But also in terms of making a checklist for the morning routine, what do you expect them to do? Do you expect them to make their bed, or is that superfluous? Is that not necessary? Netilas yadayim, brushing their teeth, getting dressed. Maybe it's, you know, grabbing their lunch bag that's been packed the night before.
Right. I think that having a checklist just makes it easier for a lot of kids to remember everything because they're, you know, it is a hectic time often in the morning. And, you know, you don't want them leaving without brushing their teeth. You don't want them leaving without their lunch. Very often having visual aids can be very helpful. And sometimes for kids who even younger, you'll have visual aids. Instead of a checklist, you'll have little picture list.
Right. It's a great idea. And having it visible and at everybody's eye level and even pointing it out and reviewing it so that it's really the truth for everybody. That's not, oh, I didn't know that. I never heard that.
Because there are some children who are by nature very organized. They leave themselves notes at night what they have to do the next morning. They don't forget to brush their teeth and wash their face and do everything, and they get it done on time, and they're generally out, you know, early, and they do fine with that. But there are many more children who really have to be prompted all the time. And because you're too busy in the morning to stand over them and say, no, you forgot to brush your teeth, you didn't do this, or, you know, even simple things like laying out the clothes the night before so you don't have a whole decision-making process in the morning and concerned what to wear, or I have nothing to wear because the uniform is in the laundry. All these little details.
Absolutely. Preparing the night before can become a routine also, just packing up snacks and lunch and making sure clothes are put out. But one thing I want to interject about the morning routine is that it's probably best if the person who's really taking care of the kids and making sure they get out in the morning is themselves up before the kids and at least quasi-ready to meet the day and to start making sure everybody's moving through the routine. And what I like to do is to check that the routine is happening, not just counting count on the fact that the routine is occurring. Sometimes the kids can get from point A to point B, but they get stuck from point B to point C. The typical story is the kid who, you know, has done the Tehillat Sadaayim, gone to the bathroom, brushed their teeth, and they're in the bedroom, and somehow putting on socks makes them space out. So instead of getting dressed, taking 3 minutes, it's taking 8 to 10 minutes for no apparent reason. But if you go in there and you say, come on, honey, put the socks on, let's go, it's prompting them to continue the routine and not to get spaced out and dreamy while they're putting on their socks. I mean, it's nice to meditate, but that might not be the right time.
But what do you say to parents who say that the idea of a routine is, you know, is too rigid for them? They don't like being so rigid.
Okay, I love that question, and it's a very important question to address. I think the routine actually allows more time for fun because it takes away so much of the stress you have when you're trying to manage limited time. When you have enough time for one activity, it doesn't blur into the other, and you actually have more time allocated, and things will run more smoothly, and there'll be less of this pressured, rushed feeling.
I would agree. I think it really creates, it allows more time for everything to unfold in a calmer, natural way with a clear expectation of what's going to happen next.
Right. And I mean, routine also really doesn't mean it's set in stone and it can never change. I mean, there are different times of the year where clearly routine can change. For instance, you know, in the summertime, if you want to push bedtime back a bunch because no one really has to be out at the crack of dawn and it's a much more relaxed time and there's no homework to deal with, well, by all means, push bedtime back. Instead of it being, you know, 8 o'clock, you can make bedtime 9 o'clock. What the heck?
Right. Or in the spring and summer, even when the kids have school, because it's light out still, and they want to go out and play after supper, and you're going to give them an extra half hour before they have to come in and get into bed, that's okay. It's not about being rigid, but it's about having structure.
It's about making everything flow well.
Let's give some more practical applications.
Meal times and bedtimes, from my perspective, are the cornerstones of your routine. I like early meal times for small children, for instance. Like a meal time for a small child, preschool children, could be 5 to 5:30. And then you work from there. Okay, there's dinner, and then there's, you know, maybe a bath, and maybe a bedtime story, and maybe Shema, and then go to sleep. And that's the routine, and you stick to that. And not, oh, but, okay, so tonight we read a story, but tomorrow night we can watch television, right? Wrong. A special treat occasionally, yes. But sticking to the routine so everyone knows what to expect is important.
I think bedtime routines are especially important at every age because having a sort of routine and ritual helps people sleep better and fall asleep more easily. Sleep experts talk all the time about sleep hygiene. And when you send people for help with their sleep problems, most of the results you come back with are they need to improve their sleep hygiene. And what that simply means is having a routine before going to bed. And very often that means, you know, for teenagers not, you know, playing ball or exercising right before they come back to go to bed because they're not going to fall asleep right away. It also means, as far as I'm concerned, not playing these exciting video games right before bedtime. Those don't encourage the calm you need to fall asleep.
One of the things I think is nice to do at the end of the day, if you can take the 3 minutes to do it, because really it doesn't take more than 3 minutes, is what was your favorite thing that happened today? And that kind of, and try to keep the whole environment and the atmosphere in the house at that time calmer. So it becomes more of a sleep conducive environment. And it's tricky when they're children of different ages, but that's what bedroom doors are for. We close them and then that becomes the enclosed environment that's where it's taking place. And the point of the routine really is to help get things achieved within a reasonable length of time. You know, if getting your toddler from bed to bath takes too long, it'll eat into your evening. Having time to spend by yourself with your spouse, and having time to spend with your spouse certainly is very important for family life to continue in a happy, productive fashion. And if you don't allow enough time for your child, it's going to be harder to wind down.
You don't want to be rushing your kid. You want to leave enough time so you don't, they don't feel like you're rushing them and you don't have time for them. And so, you know, starting early, making the time, and you're having the schedule and knowing what the time, you know, when you have to do what, really makes it a lot calmer and easier for you.
Right. Also, knowing your kids is critical. If your child is slow in dressing, allow enough time for it. don't make it more difficult for yourself and for them.
If you know it takes them 15 minutes to get dressed, don't only allow 10 minutes. And you can have different schedules for different kids. So for one kid, you might expect them to get ready and dressed and ready breakfast in 10 minutes, and another kid is going to take 25 minutes. But allow the time that's really necessary and gradually encourage them maybe to be a little quicker or more efficient.
Right. And if at all possible, maybe weekends are the best time for this, allocate special time for each child to have individual attention with each parent. And you can rotate this. One day it's mom's turn to bathe the toddler and dad's turn to read him a story and, you know, dad to put him to bed, and the next day it's the other way around.
So all these routines really going to make life much easier for you. And that's really the goal here, is to make life easier and to, you know, keep it calm and secure for everybody in the family. When there are rules and routines, you really have to make the decisions, decide together. With older children, you want to meet with them. You want to explain the rules in an authoritative but quiet manner and be very clear about what they are. Depending on the age of the child, sometimes you'll just come with everything prepared and sometimes you'll come with a discussion about it with older children. But you clearly want to have a clear set of rules.
You want to be firm and you don't want to waver in your tone and your content. And you should always have a business attitude, but a business attitude that's not an angry attitude, just a very business-like attitude of we're going to take care of this and this is what we need to do now. Don't lecture. You know, just state the rules and the reasons.
And remember, you're most effective in enforcing rules when you stay calm. If you lose your temper, you really become ineffective. You want to have focus really more on rewards and have clear, simple consequences. Your praise and acknowledgement are much more effective at getting things accomplished than any consequences are.
Right, but I would also interject and say you don't want to overdo it. Saying to the child, good job, is acknowledging. You don't have to go into a 5-minute soliloquy about what an amazing person they are because they happen to make their bed that morning.
It won't seem genuine, and you want to be genuine. And remember, you're what's important to them, and the fact that you can genuinely say, I'm proud of you, means a lot. But there are a lot of natural rewards that you can bring in. If you're ready for bed on time, you finished all your homework and you took your bath, then you can have a half hour to watch TV or read your book or listen to your music or have some extra time. Because the time's there because they finished everything early. I have one parent I remember who had no problem getting their kids dressed and eating breakfast and ready on the bus on time in the morning. Even the kids, though the kids really didn't love it because they said, look, if you have everything ready by 8 o'clock, you can watch your TV show that you like at 8 o'clock until the bus comes. And the kids were always ready and plenty of time.
It's called motivation.
But children don't have to agree to all the rules. They don't have to love them. They just have to understand that this is the way things have to work. And you don't have to lecture them about it, negotiate about it. Your job is to work on the behavior, not in getting them to agree. Remember, again, we talked about before, hamachshava holech achar maisa. Right? Their thinking will follow their behavior. It's what they do that counts. So be clear about what's expected. Be clear what the consequences for noncompliance are. And don't waste a lot of time until you give the consequences.
Also, I think keeping the consequences small and consistent is important. So, in other words, if there needs to be a consequence, okay, there's no TV that weekend. There's no TV that one night on the weekend. And you know, let's call it Motzei Shabbos. There's no TV for you. That's very powerful. It's much more powerful than saying for the next 10 Saturday nights you can't watch any television. Because what are you going to punish the kid with tomorrow? What's the consequence going to be tomorrow? The consequences have to be realistic, consistent, and not overdone.
And repeated. And that's why, in other words, it's much better to give the same punishment 10 times than to give one punishment for 10 nights in a row.
But what about when parents say, oh, But I gave the punishment, or I gave a consequence that didn't seem to upset them or make any impact on them.
The idea of a consequence is not that your kid is going to come out and show you, oh, that I'm so upset about it. That really hurt me. That's going to have such an impact on me. Wow, you're such a smart parent. I tell parents all the time, I'm not here to make my kids suffer. This isn't about being sadistic, okay? This is about...
It's not about being sadistic, are you sure?
It's about really connecting behavior, good behavior to good things, and, you know, inappropriate behavior to consequences. If they can't follow the rules, there's a consequence. I don't want you... It's not for you to suffer. It's for you to learn. Remember, we go back to the beginning. The point of this is that our children should learn, and that the way to teach is by giving the same lesson over and over and over again.
Right. And I think, you know, also coming up with the house rules are very important. So let's give an example or two of house rules. We don't curse here, okay? We don't use foul language. We don't hit. There's no physical displays of violence. Those are rules. Those are basic rules.
And I think that having these rules makes it easy to convey the lessons we want to convey as parents. So if I want you to treat people with respect and not curse at them, and that's part of the house rules. If I want you to understand that being prompt and on time and not making people wait for you is a courtesy and shows respect for others, that's part of the routine. In other words, I don't have to make a special lesson every day. You're learning the lesson because it's built in to the routine and the structure I created at home.
You're living the life. You're talking the talk and you're walking the walk both.
Right. We need structure in our lives for us to function. You know, I often have people come to me who really don't have much structure in their lives. And especially as an Orthodox Jew, I often have them first start by, you know, the men by going to let's say minyan in the morning. I say, choose a minyan. And start going to that minyan every single day. Because once they start going to minyan, then they have the time for breakfast afterwards. They get to work on time. They're not running all the time late. They're not always so harried. It makes them calmer and makes them feel better and more productive. Just as we need structure, our children need structure in their lives.
And I think the structure isn't just true of little children. I think the structure to a large degree, it's very important for teenagers also. This isn't just about little children. Teenagers also benefit from, their structure is going to be look very different than a 4 or 5 year old structure. And what the expectations are of them is going to be very different also. But just because they become teenagers doesn't mean they don't have structure and doesn't mean they don't have rules anymore and they get to, you know, rule the house.
Right. So I think it's, you know, what we're really talking about here is that in creating a consistent, calm structure at home, it creates a sense of security, mm-hmm. right? Kids know what to expect. It creates calmness in the house because they get used to doing things in time and they're comfortable with the transitions. They know, because they know what's coming next and they know when they have to do it, there's no fight about going to bed. There's no fight about doing your homework. It's all built into the structure. It makes parenting easier and it makes the children much better about accomplishing their goals with less stress. And so I think you really end up with more secure, happier children as when you exert your authority. And it's an easy way to exert authority because basically I exert my authority by creating the structure. I don't have to come every day and say, I'm in charge, you do as I say. They know what the rules are already.
Well, and it's also about the parent being able to stay with the structure and stay with the rules. And that's part of the consistency piece because otherwise, what exactly is the point of having rules and having structure if the parent isn't going to be able to keep that up? It's incumbent upon the parent to continue that.
Right, which is why I think it's very important that you create a structure that works for you because not every structure works for everybody, and you have to figure out a structure that's really going to do the job for you. So it has to be individualized to your home. And that's why sometimes with parents, they really have sometimes more challenging children, difficult situation, or who themselves were never brought up with structure and aren't very good at it. I more talk about what's going to work for you so that they may not be able to implement everything. But certain changes and certain structure and time you can put in there. And you've got to make a structure that's going to work for you, that you can stick with, that you can be consistent with. Not necessarily the one that your friend does that is really too much for you to handle.
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't even begin to think about copying my neighbor, because you're not your neighbor. Your kids aren't your neighbor's kids. And it may be realistic for, okay, I mean, you know, copying is certainly a high form of flattery. But if the copying's not going to work because you're not that family, or you can't function like that family, then you're setting yourself up for failure.
Right. So there are a lot of good books for parents on creating, you know, more of a structure and rules in the home and consequences. But you've got to tailor make it to what's going to work for you. And I think when you do that, your children are going to see you as, you know, the authorities in the house. There's going to be less arguing. There's going to be less divisiveness at home. And I think things are really going to be smoother and happier.
Thank you for joining us today on Parent is a Verb. If you have any questions or comments, please email them to parentisaverb, all one word, parentisaverb@ou.org. Thank you and have a good day.